We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
According to a report from NPR, just about 16% of homes for sale in 2023 were deemed affordable for a typical U.S. household. A home is deemed affordable if the estimated mortgage payment is no more than 30% of the average local monthly income. Another reason for out-of-reach housing costs is a severe housing shortage that has been years in the making. The U.S. has not built enough new homes since the housing crash of 2008 and doesn't meet the demand, creating a deficit of millions of units. That has pushed up not only home prices, but also rent and the gap in affordability. And we are in the worst of time when it comes to low-income households. And affordability plunged 40% before the pandemic and 21% from just last year. And we have on The Spark with us today some representatives from the Lancaster Lebanon Habitat for Humanity that are attacking this issue. Today, we have with us Andrew Saleh, who is the CEO and president of Lancaster Lebanon Habitat for Humanity. Also accompanying him, we have Allison Davis, the family services manager, and Kenya McGreer, who is a Habitat for Humanity home buyer. Thank you all for joining us today on The Spark.
Hi, Marky. Thanks for having us here.
Yes, indeed. So let's get into this thing because I mean I just said some shocking statistics here. I'm sure stuff that you folks already know. So how does Lancaster Lebanon and Habitat for Humanity plan to address this urgent need for affordable housing?
We're serving low-income families, and low-income families right now need to attack the older housing stock. And that average house of a home in Pennsylvania is 57 years old. Rest of the country is actually 17. Mm. So we've got places that are not safe, warm, dry, and they're not affordable to live in. So what we're doing is we're going out there to adding more units for our home buyers. And then we're also going in and taking some of the older housing stock and doing complete rehabs. As we say, we're going down to the studs, putting in new insulation, new drywall, new flooring, and making them a fresh home. So recovery in a lot of ways for the patients. Working out an affordable mortgage payment for them, and they are homeowners.
Now, how does this whole process start for the person sitting at home that's like, hey, I would like to become a homeowner, but I don't know if I can afford it. How does this process begin?
Well, Kenya is one of our home buyers, and she is going to be settling in later this summer.
Ooh.
And here in the city of Lancaster. But they need to be low income, where they're 40 to 80% area median income. For Lancaster County, that's roughly about anywhere from $37,000, $38,000 a year for a family of four to about $67,000, $68,000 a year for a family of four gross.
Mm.
And they'll have to have a housing need. Is their current place safe, warm, and dry? The two biggest things we hear about a lot is that it's environmentally just there's a lot of water damage, mold, and other issues. And overcrowding, just bunking up too many people into the house, not using bedrooms and so forth, just being uncomfortable there. And they're going to have a demonstrate a willingness to partner with us and put in a minimum of 250 SWAT equity hours helping build that house.
And Kenya, let's bring you in on this, because you are at ground zero of this initiative. So can you tell us how you got involved with Habitat and the process for yourself?
Well, I got involved actually last year when I had applied. I waited 2 years for it to open back up, checking every day, so that I can apply to become a homeowner. I did most of my, because I'm a full-time, I work. So most of my sweat equity was at the ReStore, the Habitat ReStore. So I had like that. And once I made 100 hours, then I was able to make my house match.
So can you take us to that time? You know, you're at 99 hours and you're like, oh, I just need one more hour left. Can you take us to that moment when you reached that 100th hour?
Yes. So I do remember that I think it was the day before, and I had a message Allison, and I was like, hey, I got like 4 hours left. I'm going to the ReStore. Can I see when I'm done?
She was not wasting any time. She as soon as she hit that 100th hour, she was peeling into the office to see our inventory of homes that we have available.
So then, Allison, I'm glad you said that. Let's bring you in on this as well. So you said there was like a resource of houses, like a encyclopedia, I'll call it, of houses that she could thumb through and say, you know what, I like this. This is a maybe, definitely not this one. Is that true?
Yes. So, you know, a lot of folks think that, you know, that we give away houses for free, which
right.
Anytime I get a chance to say that we don't, I will take it. I hope that's okay. Because these folks are earning every shingle on the house. but yes, once they hit house match, we do, once they hit their house match milestone with their hours, we show them all of the homes that match their family size and income that we have available. So she was able to see, we're at a very unique and exciting time in our history where we did have probably maybe four or five options available.
Oh, wow.
Some of which, you know, could have been available within months up until through like 2026. We're so grateful and excited, matched with a beautiful, beautiful home in my neighborhood, which I'm so excited. So the Cabbage Hill neighborhood.
Hey.
So we're very, very excited that met, you know, fit her family well.
I felt bad though, because she took me to three, and then we went to that one, and I was like, okay, so we went to the one in Columbia, and then I was like, can we go back to the one?
Absolutely not. We go wherever you want to go.
Oh, and hey, I used to live in Sowee, so that is a great neighborhood. So Allison, for yourself on the other side, when you're hearing these people's story, and then when you begin that search process, where do you land? Do you kind of push people to certain homes, or just be that guide rail and let them choose their way?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, earlier in the program, it used to be called house assignment, which I think made sense when we, you know, very early in our history, we were able to build a 62 home development. So folks were kind of like, okay, you get the next in line. They're, you know, identical homes. You just get the next in line. But in the last, I would say, you know, 10 years, especially, we've had a lot of kind of scattered site rehabs. So no, this is absolutely a decision. We call it house. We change it to house match because, you know, it's got to work for them and for us, but no, we try to take everything into consideration from, you know, bedroom size, bathroom accessibility, but then also school district and parking and all of these factors that, you know, we want this house or the assets from this house to be in this family's lineage for, you know, in perpetuity. So this has got to be, you know, it's got to be good fit. So, and we've had folks that they hit that point and they said, I want to wait until the right opportunity. So we're just here to make the match, and that's it.
This is going to sound like a obvious question for you, Allison, and then I'm going to go back to Andrew here. But why should folks sign up for Habitat for Humanity? Why should they be a part of this initiative?
Yeah, I'm always talking about any chance I get, I love to talk about generational wealth. So We're looking to serve folks that historically have been barred from participating in the conventional mortgage market, you know, for a variety of reasons. So these folks have missed out on generations of equity building. In addition to, you know, countless other barriers that have been put in their place. So, for example, we don't have a minimum credit score. Credit is just one piece of their entire financial capacity. So we're able to do some things that a conventional lender, you know, doesn't or, you know, can't or doesn't want to be flexible on. but then, like, we're able, folks are able to sell their homes. We have a couple, you know, clauses in place while they're repaying their mortgage. To make it fair for both our organization and the home buyer. Once they pay off their home, they pay off their mortgage, just like any other house, you do whatever you want with it. Then you can rent it out, you sell it, and then, you know, or your children inherit it. Now they're starting life without a mortgage payment. They're starting life with an extra $1,000 a month. You know, but, you know, 12 grand a year to go towards, you know, school, cars, a vacation, you know, and just other life enriching things. And then, you know, we always talk, especially in the welcome orientation and settlement prep, you know, I'm thinking of their kids and their kids' kids and their kids' kids, and just trying to always, you know, let them have that same, you know, upward mobility that, you know, other
they're
groups
participating have been able to in the housing economy, and getting all that appreciation and building up that wealth from equity.
Indeed. Indeed. And Andrew, you all have a new initiative called Open Doors. Can you go into detail about what exactly is Open Doors?
Yes. Thanks, Marquise. Mm-hmm. And the reason we have that house for Kenya is because of this initiative that we started in 2021. It's our very first five-year building campaign, Open Doors building campaign. And our mission had been to increase our building capacity so we could serve more families. Building three, four homes in a year at a time was not enough. When the need is so great, there is such scarcity, we decided we needed to empower ourselves by going back to our partners and saying, this is the need in today's housing market, in today's housing challenges, even as things were increasing costs and so forth. So we have been on this campaign, and we've raised $3.2 million to date.
Wow.
And it has allowed us to be able to have the capital to be able to go launch into build, getting properties and lining them up to be able to finish and build up and make more first-time home buyers between now and 2026. And we're about to go into a public phase. We're going to be asking a lot more people to get involved.
So before we go to our first break here, are there any key stakeholders involved in the launching and success of this Open Doors building campaign?
So the High Foundation, of course, is one of the our best partners and longstanding ones in there. And of course, Lancaster County Community Foundation has also been contributing into our builds as well. And several other businesses in the community have been upright with us as well. Benchmark Construction, others.
Oh, man.
Both people and their help. It's been wonderful.
Oh, man. And I ask that because I just wanted to see what the village looked like. Because they always said, you know, it takes a village. So definitely wanted to see the other people that are pouring positivity into this initiative, as I like to say. So next question here, folks. What role does volunteerism play in this initiative?
Volunteerism is absolutely key. It's the heart of what we do with Habitat for Humanity and making first-time homebuyers. With this campaign, the Open Doors Building Campaign, doing 30 homes from 2021 till the end of 2026, it takes that cost reduction to make it viable, to make it affordable for our first-time homebuyers in the Habitat program by contributing their time. The homebuyers put in their sweat equity of the houses, but then we have people from the community and the businesses, their employees, come up for a volunteer day, and that's going to amount to like 100,000 hours by the time this whole thing's done.
Wow.
Having impact both at our construction sites and our social enterprise at the ReStore as well. But the gifts everyone's making in the Open Doors is going right into those construction projects, making the first-time homebuyer opportunities and building more wealth.
Now, for your sweat equity program, what has been the feedback? Because I'm assuming that because folks are essentially working for these homes, there's more of a appreciation aspect to it.
There is. Well, we use sweat equity with our home buyers. Kenya's earning her sweat equity. Marquise, when you come out, I'm going to try to talk you into coming out to a build day with us. You're going to be doing your volunteer hours and putting in, you know, maybe 8 hours on the site, coming in about 7:30 or 8 in the morning and working until about 3. You could be doing anything from drywalling and painting, but you're going to be able to say, you know, when you go by the house next time, I helped make that house, that affordable home possible. It makes it a stakeholder element. And not to mention, it gets people in the community, in the neighborhoods, and working with their neighbors. And they are their neighbors. They wouldn't normally get involved with. I think it brings the humanity out of all of us. We're building community through it.
Oh, Andrew, I'll tell you this. Don't tease me with a good time, man. I will definitely pull up. I am always, always ready to volunteer. My DM is wide open. So please, I am waiting for that invite.
You got it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Are there any challenges that you all face when rolling out Open Doors or with your sweat equity program?
You know, I'm going to let Allison respond to the sweat equity element there. She's got any thoughts. But on the we started this in 2021. That was in the pandemic. We were in planning in 2020. And we were wondering, are we going into a recession? Are we going into greater inflation? We started out with, I think, 4 homes that we held a deed on. We buy the homes and that becomes our little micro market to be able to serve the first time home buyers. We didn't know, we felt like it was going to be more likely, still a challenge to raise the money, but would we have the land to make the first time home buyer opportunities? And the houses are those vehicles. It's been remarkable. I think we built a little bit of our own success, made a little bit of our own luck by starting a large build out in Columbia and doing some of the rehabs we had in the city of Lancaster and the city of Lebanon. And I think people saw those because those did draw in more opportunities, a handful of donations and a handful of purchase opportunities that allow us to get in there. But construction costs have gone up. Materials have gone up. I mean, construction labor and so forth. We're using subcontractors. Everything's more costly. And we've been trying to factor that in and trying to get more gifts in kind opportunities. And that's where all that collaboration comes in. But it has been a bear. It has been a bear. It's been a really big challenge. I can only imagine what other renters that I'm not serving right now are going through and trying to, you know, improve their housing situation right now.
Allison, any challenges with the sweat equity?
Yeah, in terms of the homeownership program, I think our biggest challenge is just not being able to serve everyone. We had applications open in January 2023 for 5 days only. And we received 115 applications in 5 days with very, very little advertising of that because there were folks like Kenya who were checking the website every day, coming into the office, seeing people were ready and on it. Of that, we have accepted 20 families and we still have about another 15 to process. It takes folks, it can take, you know, Kenya went through the application process fairly quickly, just depending on everyone's situation. Like I said, we still have 15 in the application process because it's a pretty extensive program and then goes through all of my financial analysis, then presented to a group of volunteers who anonymously review applications. And those volunteers actually officially select the families. So it's a long process, I think. And then, you know, and then a 30-year mortgage after that. So it's a very long-term program in a variety of ways, but certainly the biggest challenge is not being able to serve everyone who needs it, for sure.
Yeah, this is certainly certainly life-changing, like literally life-changing. So Andrew, how can people donate? For the person that's listening at home, and if they're like, all right, well, you know, I can't give I can't give physical, but I can give monetarily. How can they donate?
Yep. They can go to our website, LancasterLebanonHabitat.org. They can find us on Facebook. They can find us on the web. And they can also drop off a check. Those don't have any fees associated with it either. So it's a little bit easier, but they want to give their time and their money. That would be a great impact because we've got volunteer opportunities. And obviously, we're trying to raise the cup to $4 million for those 30 homes by the end of 2026. So we need another $800,000. So we're counting on this generous community to come through a little bit more and give a little extra.
And then for the groups that want to donate their time, donate their muscles, how can they get in contact with you?
So, Marquise, we're going to send you an email, but everyone else can go right to LancasterLebanonHabitat.org. There's giving for the campaign gifts, and then there's volunteer, and you can find it all right there. We'll get you on the waivers and get you on the schedule.
Oh, all right. I want to thank you all for joining us on the Spark. Before we head out, Kenya, how you feeling these days?
I'm feeling awesome.
So, can you take us to that moment when you said to your family, "Hey, this is me right here."
You mean like once I made my house smash?
Yes.
So, my kids, it's like they knew what I was going for because I told them, okay, I'm at the ReStore for this amount of hours. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to make it. So as soon as I started telling them, they're like, well, mommy, this is your time. Like whatever you pick, we're happy with. So, and it's like after we saw all the different homes, and I was like, can we just go back to that one? And I told Allison, I was like, I don't know what it is. I said, it's not like a whole pulling sensation, but I felt comfortable when we were standing in, I think, in the backyard.
Says a lot because it was a condemned home at the time.
It was. We wasn't even allowed in.
This woman got a vision. She has got a vision.
But it
That is
spoke to your
true.
soul. That is
Yeah. And I
that
was like, I feel so comfortable here. Like, I don't know what it is. I was like, but this is it.
That
This is definitely it.
that is absolutely incredible. I appreciate you all coming on the Spark and letting us in on Open Doors and everything Lancaster Lebanon Habitat for Humanity. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks,
Thank
Marquise.
you.
Cheers.